Welcome to a new episode of Liftoff, a Jets football podcast with your hosts, Chris, and from playlikeajet.com, Mr. Sharman Phillip. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Liftoff Jets. You can follow Sharman at GrownFolk1980. You can follow myself at CP7NY. You could also find us wherever you find your podcasts at Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. And you could also find us at SportsWire Radio at sportsinarium.com/player. And you can follow the station manager there, Thomas Bryce, at Thomas Bryce 2017, for all the scheduling of all the other great shows. So, Sharman, finally, we're at camp opening. So we are underway.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to our friend Nicole. I know she's supposed to be there at some point. She's supposed to be over there. I wish I had time. I would go over and, you know, meet some of our fans, some of our friends. But yeah, it's awesome, man. It's fun to have the situation, you know, get live. Because that's basically what it is, man. It's live now. Everybody and anybody will be talking about the Jets, especially the haters. And you know they've arrived too.
Oh yeah. And you know what? They're always around. You know, like every year, even if we're, you know, not projected to do well or anything, they're always hating us no matter what. So because we're New York, every New York team gets it. We get it probably a little more. I don't know why, but we get it. So, which is fine. This is the first year. Hopefully we'll be, you know, taking names. So by the end of the year,
yes,
we'll
sir,
be calling them out. But before we get
yeah,
to
yeah, I'm proudly take names.
Yeah, no, I hope so. I hope Aaron Rodgers, man, because a lot of people are doubting Rodgers. So we'll see. I think before we get into the Jets and before we get into what's going on at camp on the first day and any other questions we got going into camp, we see this whole thing with Saquon Barkley, right, of the Giants now in front of us. Is he going to sit out now? And he hasn't signed his franchise tag. And we see other running backs available still as free agent. Dalvin Cook, we've been talking about him. Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, some big time names, guys that have gotten 1,000 yard seasons and recently past 3 years with Dalvin Cook.
I mean we can't even, not to cut you off, but I think you shouldn't move forward without speaking about the situation in Vegas with the Raiders, who their running back was the top running back in yards wise last year.
Right.
And he's begging them for basically begging them for a contract extension, and they won't right. even come to the table, which is incredible. Yeah.
It is. I don't think it's fair to these guys, you know, and because they're important. You know, for them, for the league or for the teams to try to minimize the running backs, you're not going to get the same kind of output that Josh Jacobs gave to the Raiders by drafting some kid in the fourth round and think, oh yeah, he'll match that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just replace a guy like that with a fourth rounder or a fifth rounder and think, oh yeah, they'll be fine without him. You know? But here's the difference. Here's where a pretty big difference here. Tony Pollard, right, with the Cowboys, actually signed his franchise tag. So they went up to the date, and they couldn't get anything done. So he's going to play under the franchise tag, and he has to show up for camp, or he'll get, you know, he'll get fined every day that
right.
he doesn't show up. Saquon Barkley has not signed his franchise tag, so
still hasn't. Yeah.
Right. So if he wants, he could sit out all summer long. Like, he could show up for week one, the game, like sign his franchise tag the week before and show up for week one. I don't think he'll do that, but I don't think he should sit out either, because we've seen with Le'Veon Bell how that went. Unfortunately, that brings up too many bad memories. But
yes.
What are your thoughts with Saquon Barkley and the rest of the running backs?
I think it was pointed out in somewhere on the internet that you might have to look at the numbers, guys, as the reason why the position of running back has been devalued. But I think while I think that's a plausible way, a place to look, I think also I think there's kind of been a boon in the running back market, meaning there's a ton of youth and of talented guys around that you could kind of get the similar product from. And people are teams are willing to spend in other positions, and they're using the analytics to kind of point out the positions where they should spend, where the numbers are lighter, where the talent is lower. They spend there, and the places where they know they could get similar talent, not the same, because I don't think there's too many Saquon Barkley is running around. But I think what teams are doing is concentrating on other positions. I think one of those we saw this year was the amount of cash that defensive tackles, three techs, especially the guys that could play so many different so many different positions on the interior, like Quinnen Williams and Simmons from the Titans. Could do where they could play nose tackle at some points, and they could play shade off, and they could play three tech. You could move them around, and they could do it at an incredibly high level. They're making 26, 24, 25, 26 a year, because teams know how that position could produce at a high level if you have the right guy. Jones from the Chiefs, even the kid the Lawrence from the Giants. So there is a ton of guys in the league that are like that, but they're a specific group, and there's not a lot of them. So when you if you have one, you pay him. The
Right.
problem with the running backs is there is a ton of kids that could play. Now, again, like I said, I don't know if you want to go as far as saying that they are comparable to what a Saquon Barkley could do, but to an extent, they could mirror a little bit of what he could do. And in their opinion, backed by the numbers, it gives them a reason to kind of devalue the position, which is it's just a bad storm, in my opinion. It's like, and I don't think it's something that's gonna stay like that forever. I think at the moment that's what it is because of the amount of the influx of young, talented running back. But again, this is football, and football does not stay put. And things move around, things happen, and the market might change in a year or so. But for right now, unfortunately, it just does not look good for them, and they might have a fight ahead of them to kind of, grind that move to a halt and kind of move it back their way.
Yeah. No, and I'm surprised the team like the Giants that with Saquon Barkley meets we've seen what this guy is capable and what impact he can make. I mean, this guy's capable of, like a 2,000 yard season rushing and receiving yards. Like he's that type of running back. He's just not a, a one trick pony here. This guy is, but big question mark with him is, yeah, he's been hurt a couple of seasons and so I get it from the Giants side to a certain extent, but he's a guy you drafted, but here's the other coin to that. They drafted him. A different GM drafted this guy. So their GM now is not tied to him. So he's kind of like, well, he's not my guy. So even though he might be really good, but am I willing to invest a 3-4 year deal on this guy who's been hurt already? Is that
Yeah,
making
because every yeah,
Yeah.
I'm not too yeah, because every GM has a different vision for their team.
Exactly.
And every coach has a different vision for their team. And the prior coaches and the prior GMs might have elevated their need for running back at probably the one of the highest level positions in their opinion. So number one, I think everybody remembers the kind of hoopla that came around when the Giants drafted Saquon at what was it, number three or number four, whatever it was. So yeah, you do that when you value that position. But that doesn't mean that incoming front office people are gonna value the position as high as you do, if especially if you're being fired or you're being moved. So it's just a sad situation, man, because I think a talent like Saquon Barkley deserves more than the way they were treating him. But them's the breaks, bro.
No, exactly. And you know what? Talking about different GM and different, you know, how you're going to set your team up. Just look at, we talk about Buffalo every year for the past 3 years,
Yeah.
4 years,
Oh.
right? Oh, they should get a running back. They should get a running back. Obviously, they don't care too much about the running back position because, and look who's in charge of the Giants now, right? You got the, you know,
It's the
Daboll from
coach.
Buffalo, the
Yeah.
GM is from Buffalo. So they have that mindset that, hey, maybe we could probably win without Barkley. So we'll see because he's a big part of that offense, but we'll see what happens this year with them. But anyway, well, let's get to the Jets now. Let's get to the good news. Let's get the good news out of the way. Finally, Quinnen Williams' contract is done, signed, sealed, delivered. He'll be in, got a 4-year deal, second highest paid interior defensive lineman. Right behind Aaron Donald. And also, our first two draft picks are signed as well. Tippmann, the center, and McDonald, the edge rusher. What were
Yep.
your thoughts there?
I mean, come on, man. You know that I've loved this kid since before he was a Jet playing at Alabama. That monster, I believe what he did last year was the type of player I thought he was gonna be for the Jets. The craziest thing about him is watching him play last year and saying that he's a beast and he's a monster and being like, okay, you only played about just pass rushing snaps. He was only on the field for 405 snaps. I think players like Chris Jones were playing 500 plus snaps, just pass rushing snaps. I'm not talking about total snaps. So if you're telling me that my defensive tackle, could only play on pass rushing snaps 503, getting top three, I think either top three or he was the number one. I'm not sure. It from my memory, it seems like he had the most pressures in as a defensive tackle with 27 QB pressures as a defensive tackle with it's considerably less pass rushing snaps than everybody else involved. More than Simmons, more than Lawrence, more than Jones. No, that makes absolutely no sense that he's playing that less amount of snaps than them, pass rushing snaps, and getting more pressures than them, and having 13 sacks last year. That's crazy.
Yep.
That is the kind of player he is. And if you watched him play at Alabama, you knew. It wasn't just the fact that he was powerful. It wasn't just the fact that he was quick. It was the fact that all when you put those two things together, which you need to be an interior, a great interior offense, defensive lineman. It was the hand usage. It was the technique. It was the awareness. When you pair all of that together, you get a blend of damn near elite level talented defensive tackle, and that's what we saw last year. And I'm just again Death Twitter Nicole Essen and I were online last yesterday, and we were like, we have to come together and do a prayer circle and pray for health,
Yeah.
because this is what this is what we need, because to unleash what we want to unleash on the NFL, we need Quinnen Williams to play a complete season, because, man, it's the adjectives. I mean, I could come up with a million of them to explain what it is that this man could do. It's crazy. If you watch just for example, the Green Bay game. Oh my God. Two sacks, a bunch of tackles, bunch of tackles for a loss. Just incredibly, just destroyed everybody from center to left guard to right guard. Did not matter. Everybody was getting their butt kicked. And I was over the moon when I saw the signing. I knew it was coming. But I also am happy for him, man. This guy, I think lastly on the Quinnen and Williams story, DJ Reed, the corner for the Jets, made the point of saying that when he saw that the signing came down, he texted him to congratulate him. And Quinnen and Williams' first thing to say to him was, "I would not be in this position without you." This is not only an elite level player, but this is a leader. That this is the kind of player you pay money to. Because not only does he perform, but he sets a precedent and a way of being in your locker room that if your best player is the guy, is that guy, everybody follows. Everybody follows. And I think it speaks to the level of maturity that sits in the Jets locker room. I mean, listening to Sauce Gardner's interview with the Pivot podcast, nobody's which kid at 20 kid at 23 cares enough to not be besmirch the name of fellow corners around the league because he does not want to belittle his them just because he's playing well. He goes out of his way to make sure they understand it's not, I'm not against you, man. I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm against your quarterback. But if you, if I see your game, if I see your game, you know, not that well, I see you make a mistake or something like that, I'll pull you aside probably a few, you know, when we catch up somewhere or whatever, and I'll be like, "Hey, man, this game I saw you do this." Nah, man. That's crazy. 23-year-olds don't think that way. There is a as young as this team is, there's an incredible level of maturity by a lot of people. But and when you hear your leading, in my opinion, on defense, Quinnen Williams is the best player. I think Sauce Gardner is getting there. Quinnen Williams is the best player on that defense. And if he speaks the way he speaks, the way Reed said he answered him, that just goes to show you the sheer incredible amount of leadership, you know, and humbleness that goes in that goes in that locker room, man. And you hear it from him, you hear it from Mosley, you hear it from Reed, you hear it from Sauce Gardner. So, hey, man, it's just another level of excitement.
Definitely. And you know what? And they know they're at that point where they got a team that could be very special, right? It's got that potential to be a Super Bowl team. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, but there's enough talent here in all over that it could be a Super Bowl team. And the players know it. And with Rodgers coming
Yeah.
over, like they know, like we could make this, you know, like I don't think they want to get, I don't think they want to get lost in it either. That's why I think, you know, you use the word humble. I think they're trying to stay humble because it's like, okay. Because they know there's a lot to go. You know, we're not even played a game yet. And, you know,
Yep.
you got the haters going against us, but then you know there's other people saying, hey, this team could win the Super Bowl. You know, this is no joke. So I think, you know, the veterans know that and they're trying to keep the rookies, I think, or the younger players kind of like not in place, but, you know, like say, guys, we got a lot of work to do. Just because we have Aaron Rodgers here, just because we have all this talent here, that means nothing until we start winning games. And we have to prove that to everybody and to ourselves.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to win,
True.
right? This team has not
Oh
learned
yeah.
how to win. So
Yeah, and I think lastly, I think I that's such a great point. And a lot of times we forget as it, the whatever they did last year, this is it's got to be thrown out. Got to be completely thrown out. I know as fans and as prognosticators, there's always a point we make of saying, "Oh yeah, they did this last year. They did this." We listen. The teams have changed, and we're playing a separate set of teams too. Not only are the teams that we played last year different this year, but the overall we're playing different set of teams. So, you know, we won't be playing the Lions. You know, we won't be. I are we playing the Steelers? I don't remember seeing them on the thing. You know, I know where was that?
I'm trying to think. Hold on, let me look again at the
Yeah,
schedule.
because I don't remember the schedule, yeah. But again, like I said, overall, I think we're playing the NFC West this year.
Yeah, because we
Or
got
the NFC East. I'm
no, the AFC West.
NFC East.
Yeah, we got the Chiefs, we got the Broncos, we got the Chargers, we got the Raiders. The East, yeah, we got the Eagles, we got the Giants.
Yeah, we're playing the NFC East. Right.
Yeah. Also,
So
because
we're playing, yeah, the Cowboys. Yep.
yeah,
Yep.
the AFC West, we are playing.
Yeah. So again, I just to make a point, that this I brought up the schedule just to make the point that there's a different set of quarterback, a different set of running backs, different set of team, different set of coaches that'll be facing this year. And we've changed. That's the thing. You have to make it that the change is positive, and all that is gonna it takes time to accumulate, and we'll see, at the end of the day, we'll see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know what? And yeah, you could take the positives from last year. Like, yeah, we were great. You know, we were really good. I'm going to say for the first, what, 7 weeks until that after the Bronco game, because we lost Breece Hall and AVT. And that was so key. And then everything went downhill from there. But
Yeah.
now you're adding these pieces back along with adding, the future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. You know, Alan Lazard on offense, a new OC, a whole new system. So yeah, but like you said, we may not be playing the backup quarterbacks like we did last year, if you remember, right? With Miami, we didn't see Tua last year.
Yeah.
So,
Nope.
and we may not see him this year, right? Unfortunately for him, with all the injury
Yeah.
risk he's got, that's a whole other. We'll get into that in a few weeks when we get to our preview and stuff. But yeah, absolutely. This is a you got a lot of teams on the schedule that's going to look a lot different than last year. You know, Broncos, we didn't play the Broncos with Russell Wilson and with the new offense that they have now too. This is a different team, right?
Exactly.
Patriots, different
Yep.
team, different offensive coordinator. You could go down the line with a lot of these teams. The Eagles, two new coordinators, so who knows what they're going to do? And they were in the Super Bowl. So the Browns, we're going to see Deshaun Watson this year. We didn't see him last year. So it's a
Yep.
Washington. Who knows what they're going to have? They're a big mess. But Houston Texans, they should be a much better team than last year than what we've seen.
Yeah,
So,
new coach. Yep.
yeah. So, yeah. So I think you're 100% right on that. So nobody should be like, well, we beat this team last year. Yeah, but we didn't beat them with
Huh.
quarterback or, it's a different team, like you said. I
And
totally.
it's a different year, man. It doesn't matter who was playing. It really doesn't matter at this point. It's just a different year. And so many things change the perspective of a team. And a lot of it is so small that sometimes even us as fans that pay so close attention to our team that we miss it. We miss these things. And these things, even if we kind of have an inkling that something's not right, we don't, because there's some information that we're just not privy to.
Right.
So it's an awesome feeling to be excited for the first time in a long time, but you got to put everything in perspective, man. And just hope our guys get healthy, stay healthy, able to work at basically getting getting that glue, man. The building that underlying tissue that you would need to survive a 17 game season. That's the most important thing to me, in my opinion. Getting a lot, there's positions that we will talk about in a little bit that just need they need that. They need they need to build into that position to get where the team wants to be. I think they need most definitely to build that connective tissue, which again, this offseason will help to do. That's why they need to be healthy for it.
Yep, no doubt. Before we get into some position battles and some key things or questions that we're going to be looking into for camp and leading into the season, what'd you think of Denzel Mims? He was traded along with a seventh round pick to the Lions for a sixth round pick. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know it was a disappointment, second round pick, and I know he was picked. He was basically drafted in the Gase offense, and I don't even want to say that name because that brings up bad memories too. But what are your thoughts on Mims getting traded?
I think it was a great job by the front office to give the kid another shot at somewhere, and then recoup what we can going forward, because he's lost in the sauce over here. There's nothing over here for him, and the situation is there's a lot of deep. The position is just too deep, man. I mean, Wilson, Davis, Dazard, Mecole Hardman, Cobb, and we had a couple young kids that kind of showed out. In Xavier Gibson, I think was one name that kind of came up, and I can't remember the other kid's name. But this is the thing, you know. So it's best to just give him another shot and a fresh look at things in another place, and then try to recoup something in the back end.
Yeah, I think Robbie Salo, Sabo, excuse me, mentioned that the wide receiver group is very deep in his report from camp. Some of the things he mentioned. So, yeah, I think we're in great shape at wide receiver, and to give Mims, like he said, a second chance, because here, not only was he down in the depth chart, there was a reason why he was down in that depth chart, right? Like, we've seen him last year, and he was lost. I mean, he didn't even know where to line up, let alone how to run his route and all that stuff. I mean, it's sad to see that, because this is a second round draft pick, and it's at times it looked like he didn't even know like how to play football. Like simple things, like don't even know where to line up. How many penalties did he get not being able to line up right? So it's sad.
That's the craziest. Yeah, it's the craziest thing, man. I think again, the performance of the player is all as fans we care about. Most of us, we don't care about anything else, and we don't ask ourselves what it takes to prepare yourself to perform day in and day out as an NFL pro. You could tell that the lights being on for him was not something that really stuck out too much for him. I think you will get, there were Mims fans that would probably blame the team that he didn't get enough chances. But if you've watched football enough, you understand that you have to catch the eye of coaches in other ways so you could get your shot. And his route running was questionable. Like you said, he had so many gaps where he just didn't understand what he needed to do or what routes he needed to run, that if we know we're giving you the book, you know, you got your playbook, your head's supposed to be in that. You're supposed to understand when the play call comes what your route is. You know what I mean? If you're suffering from that, and because your knowledge is behind, and I don't care how good you are at understanding of how physical you are, how big you are, and all that, but if you cannot tell me on, you know, on jets, right, you know, X go, Z comeback or whatever the play is, if I call the play out, and you don't know what you're supposed to be running, man, you're putting your job, you're getting paid. You're asking somebody else now to come to you and tell you what to do. That's, you know,
Yeah.
we could probably do that once or twice, but if it's happening over and over again, man, the patience of not only the coaches but the players around you is gonna run wear thin, you know, and that they have way too much to deal with. They don't have the time to carry you too. And unfortunately, it's just, you know, it just didn't work out, man. I hope the kid gets another shot, wherever he's going, and he thrives, because I think he's physically he's a specimen, and if he could put his game together, he could make a career out of it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Hopefully this, you know, kind of changes his mindset to say, all right, I gotta make a lot of changes for me to have a career in football, you know. So hopefully that does it for him. Good luck to him, obviously, in Detroit. Hopefully it works out. Coach Campbell will definitely straighten him out for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he ain't gonna take nothing from that guy. So
Nope.
that'll be all right. So now we're at camp.
And he
Now.
kind of and to make up to make a last point, sorry, just dawned on me when you said that. That whole offense is kind of what that would work for a guy like him. That, you know, he's physical, yards after the catch. He's really not asking you to kind of go downfield that much. You know, it's kind of a the quarterback is great at intermediate throws. The offense is basically built on that. So being able to catch the ball and like make your way down the field off of broken tackles and stuff like that, I think he could do that. I think he did a lot of that in college. So that would be a perfect thing for him over there.
And the good thing is he's not going in as like the savior or anything like that. You know, I mean, he's going in and he's like,
Yeah.
he could be like the four wide receiver there, right? Because they got Amon-Ra St. Brown, love that kid.
Yeah, they. Oh, they got the Williams kid that ended up getting
Jameson Williams.
suspended too, remember?
Yep.
Yeah. They got some talent over there.
Yep.
So
Yeah,
yeah.
they're pretty good. They got Hockenson, the tight end, who's really good. The running backs they got. So I think they're in good shape, and I think that's a good spot for him. Like you said, the offense is a good one for him to go into, and he's also coming in as hey, let's see how this kid is. Not with the Jets, second round draft pick. We expect this much from him. You know, the high expectations, and maybe coming in as a as this possibility of a breakout season compared to a high impact season for him. So I think this is a good spot. All right, so looking at the Jets, I mean, now we could start talking about good stuff, right? Everybody's signed, everybody's in, really no, like there's some minor injuries, but you got Breece Hall returning, CJ is out still, Dwayne Brown, but everybody's supposed to be back eventually. So what are some position battles to look for, in camp? I think one for sure, obviously, is the offensive line. Like how do you think that's going to work out?
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting because of what the place where the players where the what the placement is gonna be. I think no matter how you look at it, when you're looking from the left side of the field, which is the left tackle, who I right now is Dwayne Brown's job to lose. Is he gonna be taking snaps right away at his position? I don't think so. He was injured and he had a procedure done. So I think they're gonna work him slowly into it. So that's a chance for whoever they're gonna use as a backup to get kind of show himself, make a good impression. Mekhi Becton's return, his size, the fact that he's I don't want to speak out of turn, but according to what I hear, this guy's playing at about 350. What? That's crazy, man. When you think about that, he just took all that weight and he just compacted it and make that. If he still could display the level of athleticism that he did at the size he was, but at lighter, a lot of people are gonna be in problems. Again, health and strength, man. Fingers crossed. That's another guy that we just, you're just waiting to bust out. But you have Becton, and you have behind him at tackle, you have Max Mitchell, who showed in spurts last year that he could hold his own. So we have that. We have the kid that's drafted out of Pittsburgh, Warren kid, Carter Warren. So the tackle position is an interesting place for me because I think there's not only guys that are talented and have, and but there's also guys that might just bust out, and take over, like Mekhi Becton, and I think to a certain extent Max Mitchell. So you have a good mixture of youth and seniorship. You know what I mean? So you got that at tackle, and then at guard, the question here is at left guard, is who is the real Laken Tomlinson? Is it the guy that we saw the year before in 49ers colors that played basically Pro Bowl level football, or the guy that played last year, which was
Not
abysmal, man,
right.
incredibly bad? Maybe he gets back, because they gotta be somewhere higher up, man. You can't tell me you play pro level football and then you play to that level where he basically kind of at times looked like a backup. You know, maybe he was injured and he didn't say anything. I don't know, man. But I'm hoping that he brings his game, because we, in my opinion, he does not need to be some world beater. I think he playing slightly above average football would make this line way better than, like, incredibly better than it was last year. And we get a healthy Elijah Vera Tucker coming back. He spoke last week, like yesterday, he spoke at his press conference, and he said that he's feeling better, he's feeling well. He had his whole the whole off season to kind of rehab and get himself back. We know what he means to this team. We know the kind of potential he has. Last year, he was on the cusp of becoming one of the better guards in the NFL.
Definitely.
If he was cut down by injury before that could happen. But we know the potential there. Again, incredible mix of potential, incredible mi mix of youth and senior guys. Interesting player is Joe Tippmann. I think everybody that knew anything about Wisconsin offensive lineman, you know what they come with. This guy is special because he is taller than a regular center, but plays incredibly low for his height. When you mix that, a guy that plays that low, and he has that kind of height, that means his leverage is incredible, and his athleticism is incredible, and that mullet is incredible also. So you take, yeah, man, you take all that into consideration, the fact that we have a good enough center in Connor McGovern that could guide him along into the scheme and make him understand how the pros is, how it is to be a pro. I think overall, when you mix all those guys, plus when you look at the backups, when you look at guys like I said, Max Mitchell, who showed that he could play pro football. There's guys here that are like Yodney Akajus, that was drafted out of West Virginia by the Patriots, that has a lot of potential, but hasn't really gotten to where a lot of people thought he should have. But he has the potential as a tackle. There's guys here that are good backups, good bodies. And we have guys that are young and starter type players, and we have older players that have the experience and could guide the youth to where we need to go. I think that's an incredibly great collective, and I just hope that they stay healthy long enough to put everything together.
Yeah, I think the potential for this offensive line is top 10, easy, maybe even top five if everybody's healthy. And I think the important thing too is, I don't know if you'll agree or not, but I think it's to get the starting five done sooner rather than later in camp. So this way they could start together for a longer period of time before they get to even week one, right?
No, I won't agree. I won't disagree with you on that. I think that's a great point. Some of the best offensive lines in the NFL, the reason why they're so good is because they have incredible continuity. You could look at the Cleveland Browns, for heaven's sake. One of the reasons why they're one of the best offensive line in the NFL, they've been playing together for a while now. They've been playing together for so long that they could play several different schemes in one game. So the fact that they know their game and they know how they play, how so they could bounce stuff off of each other, there's not a lot that they haven't seen together. So there's not any kind of game or stunt that a defensive line could pull that they don't understand how to attack. So you put all that together, and it just makes a to me, it gives you a better chance to win, man. When you let the top five offensive linemen bust through so well, so early, that you basically just make, they make the line for you. You don't have to go pick it up. Everybody knows that this five has been the better five than anybody else. And you don't have to, you know, go up and be like, oh, maybe this guy. No, they've separated themselves from the pack. And that gives you a chance, in my opinion, like you just said, which I am agreeing with wholeheartedly, that it gives you a chance to, you know, to start a level of continuity, in my opinion, that if the Jets could go on a run, would be incredibly in their favor.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and that's going to get that. It's going to be once that offensive line gets to be that good, top 10 would be awesome. But if it gets that good, that's just going to make the quarterback position better. That's just going to make the running back position, because then you're going to be able to run the ball better. And
yep.
It's so important too, because we need to keep Aaron Rodgers up.
Thank you.
And not
thank
him.
You.
So
yeah,
that's obvious, right? I mean, the guy's getting up in his age, so not getting up there. He's up there already. So, outside of the offensive line, what other position battles? I'm not sure if there's many out there for us. What other ones are you looking at?
I think what's this interesting situations for me. I don't know if you would call it battles. I think it's just an interesting situation. I think CJ Uzama being on the PUP early gives Jeremy Ruckert a chance to become the player I think we all think he could be, because the incredible athleticism and the catching, the being able to catch the ball and move without the ball, move with the ball in his hand, is something we saw in college in brief stints. But one of the things we know for sure that this man could do is move bodies. And we saw it done last year in limited time. He's an incredible blocker. So that, in my opinion, starts where it starts for me with him. Because you know for sure you could get a tight end that you could line up close to the line of scrimmage, and he could get his hand on whoever it is. There's the Sam linebacker, safety coming around, whoever, the Stonewall them, blitzing corner, whoever it is. And he's strong enough to be able to do that. And there were times they asked him to do that last year. There were times they asked him to pull him and get into the line. On a couple of times I saw him smash guards. So he has the potential to block really well. But I think this is an incredibly important position. Time for him where he was going to get a lot of balls thrown his way. And if he could really open the eyes of the coaches where he's catching everything thrown his way and he's separating when he needs to separate, and understanding the offense and sitting in the hole or zones when he needs to, I think that give him an incredible shot at being the backup for Tyler Conklin. And in my opinion, again, depending on how he performs, usurp Tyler Conklin because he's the younger guy. So that's an interesting position for me. I think linebacker is an interesting position because of a comment that CJ Mosley made about an up-and-coming player. CJ Mosley called out Jamin Sherwood, and he said that Jamin Sherwood had taken his game to another level and he's interested to see what's going to happen when the lights turn on for him. I think given 2 years to learn linebacker from one of the best linebackers to ever play football in the NFL, that's more than enough. And if you could sit down at his feet and learn and have him at a conference talking about how you about to take the next step, you better take that step. So it's an interesting position here because that would explain a lot of reasons why the Jets did not re-sign what's his name? The linebacker they had last year. They signed last minute, who actually had a really good impact. Chris, help me out here.
Quan Alexander.
Dang, thank you. Quan Alexander. And it's probably it speaks to the reasoning behind why they haven't made a move to sign Alexander. It's because they probably saw Sherwood. I think I don't want to say put words in Robert Saleh's mouth, but I think Robert Saleh said something to that extent too, where he didn't mention the player's name, but he said that there was a couple guys that he saw that really impressed him in OTAs, that he saw that they changed their game, and maybe Sherwood was one of them he was talking about. Because if he does, then that seals the deal for the Jets, in my opinion, because as explosive and as good as Alexander played last year, he is a player that could be had. His athleticism is not at what it used to be. Yes, his knowledge of the game helps him get to places that he would probably shouldn't be because of his knowledge of the game, but Sherwood's athleticism, even if I think that it's not his crowning achievement, because I think his brain is it. I think his youth is something that intrigues me. The fact that he's a younger guy intrigues me. So that would definitely help the Jets big time if he could step up and help out Quincy Williams and CJ Mosley.
You know, I think
Go
just
ahead.
Mosley, referring to him and mentioning him like that, I think that tells you a lot right off the bat, right?
Yeah,
I don't think CJ
true.
would put himself out there and say, oh, this kid is going to be, whatever. I think that tells you a whole lot about this kid. For CJ Mosley to mention him specifically,
Yeah.
I think that tells you a lot. And that's good news, because that was one of my question marks. Was the linebacker situation, because outside of CJ Mosley, and we've seen him miss a game or two here and there for us, and actually miss a lot of games for us, but and he is so important. And then we've talked about how important CJ Mosley is to the defense. It's like, if he goes
Yes.
down, that's going to be huge.
People have to step up. Yeah.
Exactly.
And yeah, we know what Quincy Williams is. The team signed him, so they think highly of him. But he can't do it alone, and there's got to be somebody else that's got to step up and take his spot. If so, you put all that together, in my opinion, and I think you've seen he hasn't been able to give them the production. But I think there is something brewing here with Sherwood, where I think last year in OTAs, also not in OTAs, but in training camp too, where he was put in to call plays, meaning that he has a pretty high understanding of the offense, of the defense. That's one part of the game. Being able to execute is a different thing. The difference now, maybe that's the reason why Mosley is calling his name, is the fact that now he's put everything together, not only understanding, what to do and where to be, but also understanding everything around, which in defense, especially the way this scheme is, you can't just know your job. You're supposed to know the job of most people around you and understand where they're supposed to be. So that's an interesting situation. Again, like I said, that's what it is for me. And I think the last interesting position I'm going to talk about is the that Breece Hall is in the active pup. And I know we know what Michael Carter is, or we thought we did until last year, when he kind of just did not perform the way we thought he should. The interesting position here is the battle to me, which is going to be a battle for me, is what Israel Abanikanda could do, depending on and what Zonovan Knight could do. I think Zonovan Knight showed that he. Relentless runner, physical runner, not the fastest guy, but he's so smooth in and out of his cuts that, in my opinion, he definitely gets where he needs to go quickly, because of that. His vision is on and off, but when he does read well, I think he does well. I think the issue with him is his lack of patience sometimes, where he kind of runs into the back of his blockers at points. If Abanikanda could come in and kind of push him, that would be an interesting situation there, where because I think Abanikanda is a more explosive running back, bigger than him. I think Knight is about 208, 209, and Abanikanda, I think, is about 215. So, and then you get the size and the speed. So you could pair that well with what Michael Carter does, and that would give us a pretty dynamic backup set of running backs before Breece Hall comes back. Instead of forcing Hall back in too quickly, these two guys could kind of hold the fourth down before he comes back. So it would be interesting to see what happens there with Knight and Abanaconda and Michael Carter.
Yeah, and to me, running back for me, and just the Breece Hall and the whole situation for me is, if I had a question mark coming into the season, and I've said it, I think is running back, because nobody's really bringing this up, but running backs coming back from knee surgery that first year
Yeah.
does not they do not do well, right? For the most part,
Thank
and
you.
right, and history has shown us that. Now, there are exceptions, like Adrian Peterson came back and I think won MVP. So that guy's a
Yeah.
superhuman, right? So, but
Nope, he's definitely not human.
yeah, but there are, so that's what for me is my biggest question mark. So now, and here's the things where you could just add to it. Okay. When running backs come back their first year after knee surgery, they usually miss games. They usually miss close to half the season, and their yards per carry go down about one. You know, one from what they were the previous year. So that's one thing. Also, we got to remember too, this kid played seven games last year. So now I'm not saying he's going to come back and be 100%, but you got to remember, it's a 17 game season now.
Yeah.
So now you're asking a kid not just to play more, a lot more than what he played for college, but to come back from knee surgery. And now you're going to play five more games than you ever played, because his most games played in college was 12, right? So now you're asking him to play 17 games. And think of the depth. Like, there's question marks throughout the depth. Like, yeah, Michael Carter, you said it perfectly. We thought we knew what we had in the first year. It was like, oh, I think we got something here. And then last year, it looked like he took a step back. But can he rebound? And then
Yeah.
Donovan Knight, we don't know what this kid's gonna do. Right,
No.
he had 85 carries last year.
That's nothing.
No, that's not right. That's like three
Yep.
games for the old time NFL guys. And Abanaconda, we have no clue what this kid's going to do this year. Yeah,
Nope.
when we look at some of the highlights, yeah, it looks like he shot out of a cannon, which is awesome. And yeah, that would be great if that happens, but we don't know. And that's why I think picking up a guy, I know, I think it was Michael Nani who wrote a whole thing about Dalvin Cook, and he, you know, basically saying he's done, he's on the way down and all that. But you know what? This guy still had three straight 1,000-yard seasons. So to pick up a guy like that to add to this room, and one of them might have to go on the practice squad, so we might lose Knight or something like that. But you know what? To have a veteran that's capable of doing this as your backup, rather than a lot of these question marks, I think would be a big move for the Jets, just to add a little depth and a big depth. I mean, that's a big player to add as a backup to a backup plan to Breece Hall. Well, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm not playing into the whole Cook thing, because I don't think Cook really wants to come to New York at all. I think he wants to go somewhere where his money is going to be worth anything. So I think there's a possibility that Miami is the position, the place where he wants to go to. This smells of the whole use the Jets as just so that they could get more money thing, which we've seen so many times over the years. But I think there is comparable players out there that you could get to fit this to fit what you would want them, what you want to do here. So I'm not even Cook is not even on my mind, in my opinion. So I'm not gonna buy that. Even if in a vacuum, yes, in a vacuum, oh yeah, why? Who wouldn't want that kind of talent on their team? But in this situation, I don't think it plays well for the Jets, especially coming the kind of money we're talking about here, where we might a lot of restructuring has to be done. Rodgers still hasn't gotten paid yet. That contract needs to be done.
Yeah.
So I understand where you're coming from. But I think we could find bodies to do, even if, like you said, there's veteran running backs. We were just having the whole conversation about how teams just don't want to pay running back. There's guys out there that hasn't been paid yet that we could get in there to play a spell for us, to play half the season for us with the knowledge and have the experience of playing running back in the NFL, that could perform for us if we need to. This is why this camp is so important, because we'll see what Knight could do. We'll see where Carter is. We'll see what Abanikanda could do.
Right.
So that'll be the interesting thing for me.
Yeah. I listen, I'm using Dalvin Cook, but yeah, there's a couple other really big time names. You got Ezekiel Elliott is still a free agent. Fournette, Kareem Hunt, JD McKissick, he played a big role with Kansas
Big
City.
role, yes.
So maybe he's a guy that they bring in. So I'm not just using Dalvin Cook, but there's some big time names that they could bring in that are a little bit more of a sure thing than what we have. Maybe the guys that we have a higher ceiling or more potential because they're younger and they don't have the mileage that some of these guys have on their tires, right? Obviously. So,
Right.
but that's for me is a big one. And the other one, and listen, this is another one that's going to be in the back of everybody's mind for as long as he's here is Aaron Rodgers, right? Because of his age. He's going to turn 40 years old by the time this season is over. So I know there was reports that, oh, he might play 3 years to 5 years. Now, that's great if he can, but if he's going to turn 40 by the end of this season, he's going to be 40 years old. Think about how many quarterbacks or any player in any sport, let's use it that way, that have been an elite player or a very good player at 40 years or older. Right? When you think about that, all right, Tom Brady.
Yeah, only one guy.
Yeah, no, Tom Brady's Tom Brady, right? So he's the freak. He's like the alien that, you know.
The craziest thing about what you're saying, Chris, is the only other person that you could even mention in that same breath to do that same thing would be Aaron Rodgers, because
Right.
the same the
Hopefully.
craziest thing about Aaron Rodgers is and Tom Brady, Tom Brady had a bad knee injury. Did Aaron Rodgers have a bad injury too? I don't remember.
Aaron Rodgers. I know he's missed games, but
But I don't think he had a season-ending injury like Tom Brady did in 2000, whatever that was.
yeah, no. He's had 2 seasons where he didn't play a full season, just two.
Yeah, but he hasn't had like a season-ending, I'm out, had to rehab for the next year thing. So,
No, nothing like that.
right. So that's to me, and if you look at the makeup of this guy, I think people forget Aaron Rodgers is not a small dude. You know, he's a very physical guy. He's incredibly fit for his age. You know, I know. You know, he's out. He's my age. So he's not my age. I'm older than him, but you know, he's getting in the realm of my age, which is
But we know
incredible. But
40, what happens at 40 first.
we personally know what happens to you when you get over here, so we know how it is.
That's
but
not a good
but
number here. You're like,
yeah
but no,
so but two but he's a big guy, man. He's almost 6'3", 220 something pounds, and he carries it so well. And he is the way somebody made a point of saying that when you look at him, that people don't talk about how muscular and how cut up he is. He makes a big deal about being fit and healthy. You know, some of his health beliefs are kind of controversial, but when it's the reason why it's controversial is because, again, he's every stone is he you know there's no stones left unturned for him when it comes to his health. And so if there's anybody that could do the same thing that Brady did, it would be Aaron Rodgers. So if Aaron Rodgers wants to play until 45, he could.
Right.
He would be the one guy, in my opinion, that you would say, oh yeah, there's a potential that this guy could do that. You
Right.
know what I mean? But again, I never, I'm not saying that he will. I'm just saying that if he has it in him to do it, yeah. He because again, Aaron Rodgers has not won as many championships as Tom Brady. We know that. But there's no other quarterback that you could speak in the same voice. There's not these guys are rare. They're not normal people. You know what I mean? So if there's anybody that could challenge that record, gotta be Aaron Rodgers, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely agree. And I was kind of talking about this with Michael Pallas. He's of course of the Jet of Bleeding Green podcast, good friend of ours. I was going back and forth about it with this, and he brought up a good point. Like he goes, maybe this is the start of a new era where quarterbacks, since they don't get the hits that they used to, because there's so many rules now protecting the quarterback, so maybe a quarterback can play longer in life because in his career for the NFL because of the new rules and they protect him more, right? So they don't take the abuse that they did, 15, 20 years ago. So maybe we will start seeing more 40-ish year old quarterbacks still out there. But,
Yeah.
and I
Yeah,
should.
I think it's crazy. Like, again, look at how long Geno Smith played in the league before he had a breakout season. You
Right.
know, the fact that he's having a breakout season in his what, ninth year in the league or whatever it is, seventh year in the league, like it speaks to how there is a longevity detail that we're seeing because of the fact that they're not getting as many hits as they used to. So guys get more shots at it at it than normal, because man, there's a lot of run quarterbacks that we know that stayed in the league for long enough until they just couldn't anymore. Not because they were getting hit, it's because they just couldn't play. That wouldn't happen back then. You would
Right.
get knocked out. That's how you left. You know? So yeah, there definitely is that's, you know, the again, an alien. If you say that Tom Brady is an alien, and we know he is, I mean, the closest thing to an alien at that position, it would be Aaron Rodgers. That's active right now. It's Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, and listen, and as Jet fans, what else do we have to hope for, right? Because we like that's the reason why we think this is all possible, because this is our only hope, basically.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson's
Yep.
on backup, but okay, we know that story. And until he shows us that he's turned the corner and he's become, maybe something of Aaron Rodgers is going to rub off on him, and yeah, he might turn into a franchise quarterback one day. But until then, this is all we got. Right. And we're going into the season with all of this hope and all of this, but on the back of our minds, and I know for anybody who's been a fan for more than a few years as Jet fans, we know like every time this guy goes down for whatever reason, if he gets hit or if he slides, we're all going to be like, oh, here we go. Like we're just hoping that he gets up and with no problem after a big hit, not hurt, and he's not out for whatever amount of time, because all of our hopes are with this guy, sadly, and the backup position is what it is. That's the other question mark if you want to add. We don't have a legit backup, right? Is Zach Wilson a legit backup for us? I don't know.
Oh,
But
Team Boyle.
yeah, well, yeah, let's not even, he's basically, helping out as a coach, right? To get him used to the offense. But that's the other thing. Like, is it worth it to bring in? Because think about it. Let's bring in, let's say Teddy Bridgewater, great backup to have, right? But we bring him in. Is that going to get us to where we want to get to? I don't know. So
No,
I don't think it matters.
this is where everybody talks about the all-in situation. I mean, again, if you want what we want, you have to take this risk. And I don't know if it's worth it enough to bring anybody in here. For what? Because they're not going to make a difference. If it happens, whatever happens, which I don't want to speak of, it's going to change drastically our opportunity to do anything. So it is what it is. You know what I mean? There's nothing here. I mean, if if a couple games are going to be missed, right, what we have at defense and an average play at quarterback is what we need for those two games. And I don't want to – this is what this is about. This is – if anything, is Zach Wilson – did Zach Wilson win at least one game last year?
Yeah.
Exactly. So we were asking him to do the same thing he did last year with one extra year under his belt, to just go out there and win one game, make very little mistakes and win one game. If that's what we need him to do, he should be able to do it. And I think that's what a backup is. Even if most backups in the NFL are not guys where you're like, well, we'll put him in for five games and he'll go 4-1. No, hell no. You know what I mean? Like, this dude will probably escape with one or two wins in that six-game stretch. That's what you're saying. Like, the teams in the league that are blessed with having guys that could actually win four games, four out of five, they don't have a quarterback. Let's be real. They don't. You don't have a – if you have a guy that could go on a four-game winning streak when your starting quarterback ran, that means you have core quarterback leaders. You don't have a – you don't have a number one quarterback, you know, because like the Steelers last year, you know, they did not start the kid they drafted because, oh, you know, gotta give that, sit the rookie down. Oh yeah, when the rookie came in, you knew instantly that he was better than the other guy,
right?
That he was not the backup, and I don't care how much the coaches spoke, he changed everything about the team instantly as soon as he got on the field, and that's the difference. That's the difference about than a starter and a backup. And no matter what, once your starter goes down, your backup can't give you what your starter had. So I'm not going out there trying to get anybody to back up Aaron Rodgers. It is what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is, man.
Yeah. No. And you know what? If he's out for any length of time, just for you saying, it doesn't matter who's the backup. You know, we're not going to have this magical run with Nick Foles, right, in Philly a few years ago. Like, that just doesn't happen.
No, it does not.
I mean, listen, it would be great if someone would step up like that, sure, but we just it just doesn't happen often. So, listen, just like every other team, there's not a team out there in the NFL right now that doesn't cross their fingers for the whole season and hope that their quarterback does not get hurt, right? Or any part of their team gets hurt, right? Injuries is obviously the most important thing. So like, we covered everything today. We got all the good news out of the way. We got all the bad news. Wasn't much bad news, thankfully. But with camp opening, we're going to be getting into more of camp and how they look and all that. And we got the Hall of Fame game coming up August 3rd. Against the Browns, and of course Revis and Joe Klecko are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, which I know everybody's going to be looking forward to that in their speeches. So we will be back next week, obviously, and look for us, and we're going to keep on reporting on what's going on at camp and all the other news that's going to be hitting us with the Jets, because I'm sure there's going to be more, especially with Hard Knocks coming up soon too. We're going to be talking about that. So we will talk to you guys soon, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, guys. Take it easy.